Welcome to the Church on the Way podcast. We're glad you're joining us today. We hope it blesses you and encourages you in the faith. Enjoy the message. Well, hello and welcome to the Church on the Way. It is so great to be with you. We are in our Exile series. We're going through the book of 1 Peter, and I have loved this series. I am just getting so much from it, and I've talked to a lot of you, and you've told me that you're learning a lot, you're growing through this series. So I just want to say, if you have missed any of this series, Exiles, not to worry. You can find any of these sermons. They're on our website. They're on our YouTube channel. And I encourage you to take time to go back, listen to what the Lord has been telling us as a church through this 1 Peter series. So today we are looking at 1 Peter. We are in chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 12 through 19. If you've got a Bible with you or if you watch on your device, you can read along with us, but the words will be up too. But listen to what 1 Peter 4 12 through 19 says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear his name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." Let's pray before we jump on in. Lord, we are grateful for your word. We thank you so much that you have given us your Bible to help us learn how to live, to learn more about you. So today we want to open our hearts to what you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would fill us, that you would teach us, and that we would not be the same when we're done with this today. We thank you that you're with us. We thank you for your blessings, and we love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so starting with verse 12, 1 Peter 4, it says, "Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you." Don't be surprised as though something strange were happening to you. When I read this, it reminded me of October in Los Angeles. Every year in October, you hear the same phrase. People always say this, "I can't believe it's 100 degrees. What is going on? It's October. Why is it so hot?" But you know what? I moved here in 2005. And every year in October, guess what? It's hot every year. So these people who seem so shocked that we're having a heat wave, they either just moved here from a place that actually has seasons, or they just have really bad memories. But don't be surprised that it's hot in Los Angeles in October. And don't be surprised, as Peter tells us, that as a Christian, you will face trials and suffering. Jesus talked about it a number of times in the Bible. And I want to read some of the passages where Jesus tells us that we are going to suffer. Matthew 5, 11 through 12. "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Mark 13, 9 through 11. "You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit." And then John 15, 18 through 20 says, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also." So Jesus tells us, and we see three different places, he says to his followers, you are going to suffer. So as Peter reminded us, it really shouldn't come as a surprise. But what does that look like? What does suffering mean? Well, the context of this book, who is Peter writing to? And it says in the beginning, he's writing to God's elect scattered across Asia Minor. So God's elect, predominantly Christians, Gentile Christians, who were living all across Asia Minor at the time. And at the beginning of this exile series, Tim talked about the persecution that Christians were facing at this time. Under the emperor then, Nero, in 64 AD, he was killing Christians for sport. He was burning them alive. He was using them as torches. He was letting wild animals tear them apart. It was really brutal, really brutal persecution. And when Jesus talks to us about the persecution we'll face, he uses pretty strong language too. He doesn't say, you know what? Life may be a little bit challenging, or, you know, you're going to be a bit uncomfortable, but it's going to be all right. That's not what he says. In these verses that we just read, Jesus tells us the world will hate you. They will persecute you. You will be flogged. And it says, when you are arrested, they will insult you, persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you. Doesn't really sound warm and fuzzy, does it? And verse 12 talks about the fiery ordeal that will test us. Fire's powerful. Fire can be destructive. We see it all the time. Southern California, no, actually, it was all up and down the West Coast. The fires that were all over, we saw the destruction that they brought. But fire can also purify. You take gold, silver, and you melt it down in the fire, and the impurities, they call it the dross, floats up to the top, and that can be taken off, separated, leaving a pure, beautiful, shiny metal. So when we go through fiery ordeals, we need to remember that we are actually being purified. Nothing, this is encouraging, nothing can show the depth and strength of a person and their relationship with Jesus like going through a good trial. When we're being tested, it really shows the strength that we have in the Lord. That fire melts us, it's painful, but through that process, it brings the dross, which is actually defined as rubbish or worthless material. It brings it to the top, and then it can be removed so it's not a part of our life anymore. In Matthew, it says we are blessed when people insult us. Doesn't really sound like a blessing, but it's not referring to feeling good. It's not about how we feel, but having God's outlook, seeing life from his perspective. And that is an amazing blessing. Suffering can come in many different ways. Trials and testing, they don't always look the same for each person. In different places around the world, different times in history, it looks different. But for the Christians that Peter was writing to, this letter that he wrote, suffering meant death oftentimes, and a painful death most likely. Peter wasn't talking about being a little bit uncomfortable. There was intense persecution happening. And there's also intense persecution happening around the world right now, today. There's an organization called Open Doors. We've talked about it before here at the church. It was started by Brother Andrew. He wrote The God Smuggler. But Open Doors supports persecuted believers in over 60 countries. And you can actually find prayer points, way to support them, ways that you can help our persecuted brothers and sisters. You can go to their website and find a lot of information. But they have stories on there, and these aren't stories from years ago. It tells of a couple that just this October, just sometime this month earlier on, in Somaliland, they were arrested because of their Christianity. They had converted, they were telling people about Jesus, and they got arrested. There are stories of people in China who are actually getting paid to report illegal Christian gatherings, and then at these illegal Christian gatherings, they're coming and rounding up Christians and putting them in jail. And then there's a story in Iran of a mom and dad who had their adopted 18-month-old daughter taken away from them because of their Christian faith. Persecution is happening. And I want to just stop right now and pray for the persecuted church. I want to lift up our brothers and sisters around the world. So Lord, we do that right now. Wherever we are, we just stop and say, Lord, would you be with these Christians who are bold enough to stand up for you, even when they know it could mean being arrested, when it means they could be persecuted. It could mean death for them, Lord. And we ask that you would be with them and comfort them, that you would give them peace. But Lord, we ask for boldness too. In the book of Acts, when the church was persecuted and they were scattered, they prayed for boldness. So Lord, we pray that our brothers and sisters around the world that are facing all kinds of persecution, that there's some now that, Lord, are in jail. We ask that you would be with them, that you would show up, that they would know your presence and your peace like never before, Lord. So we lift them up to you and we thank you that you are with them. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I encourage you to do that. Pray for the persecuted church, because it's not just some random organization. It's brothers and sisters around the world who love Jesus wholeheartedly. So we continue to pray for them. I've heard people talk recently and mention that maybe we're being persecuted. But what I want to say is I think the church in Los Angeles and different, you know, cities around the country right now, I think we're being inconvenienced. And you might disagree with me, but I really don't think as Christians we're being persecuted, partly because we can't meet inside, but I also can't go to a movie in Los Angeles. I can't go to a play at the Pantages. I can't go to a sports gathering. There are a lot of other inside big gatherings that also aren't allowed. So I don't think we're being singled out. But we are still the church everywhere. You might get tired of us saying it, but we're going to keep saying it because it's true. We are the church everywhere. Ministry is happening. Small groups are happening. People are coming together to pray and encourage one another. A lot of it's happening on Zoom. Some of it's happening in outside settings with masks and people are being careful. Serving is happening. People who need help, whether it's financial or a physical need that they have or prayer for healing, ministry and serving are happening. We are being the church. We've said it. You don't go to church. We're being the church. And I think it's amazing. And we are able as a church to meet outside. And if you're on our email list, on Thursday, you would have received an email from Pastor Tim with some great news telling us that starting next Sunday, November 1st, we are going to have an in-person gathering here in the courtyard. So you can go on our website, get all the details, but we're going to have our online gathering at 9 a.m. and our in-person only gathering out in the courtyard at 11 a.m. on Sundays. So this is in response to what the Lord's telling us as a church to do. It does not matter what other churches are doing. We are listening and obeying the voice of the Lord for what he's called us to do. And this in-person gathering is our next step, and I'm very excited about it. I hope you are too. Now, let's get back to suffering. Maybe you aren't being arrested for your faith. Maybe you aren't being thrown in jail because you converted, because you said the name of Jesus. But there are other forms of persecution that we do face. And they can be more subtle, but they're very real. I have a friend who used to write for a sitcom. This was years ago, but he was the only Christian in the writer's room. And everybody knew it. Now, he wasn't beaten or flogged for his faith. He didn't get fired because he was a believer. But there were times when he was insulted. There were times that he was left out of what everyone else was doing because he identified with Christ. They all knew he was a Christ follower, and he was rejected from the social group of that writer's room. He didn't quite fit in. Stop and think for a minute about your life. Have you taken a stand and been made fun of? Have you been mocked for the way you live? Maybe all the people around you at work love to cuss and they notice that you don't and they tease you for it, or they apologize every time they say a bad word. Maybe they make fun of you because there's certain shows that you just know you shouldn't watch. You don't watch them, and people are like, oh, have you watched? And you're like, no. Do you feel out of place sometimes in this world? Remember, we are exiles. This is not our home. And while we are here as missionaries and we love people, we extend grace and truth to the culture, we're different. We don't fit in, and it's okay. We identify with Jesus. Suffering will happen, and it can take many different forms. So what is our response to that suffering? Well, if you look at verse 13, it tells us, rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. rejoicing, giving thanks. It doesn't really seem like a natural reaction to suffering, does it? But if we're suffering for Jesus' sake, if we are going through trials because we identify with Christ, because we go by his name, Christian, a Christ follower, then we can absolutely rejoice. And we can know that not only are we being shaped and refined by that fire, but God's glory is being revealed in us. And James tells us this. In James 1, verses 2 through 4, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And then Romans 5, 1 through 5, Paul says this, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." By the way, those verses in James and in Romans would make great memory verses. So if you're starting to read your Bible all the time, that's great. Can I encourage you to start to memorize scripture, have it in your head, let it be in your heart? Either of those would be a great place to start. But when you're reading the Bible, pay attention to the therefores and the so that's. It tells you the why, it ties things together, it helps you process, what does this mean for me? So James says to consider it joy when you face trials because that will produce perseverance. And we let perseverance work in us so that we can be mature, complete, and lacking nothing. I don't know about you, but being mature, complete, and lacking nothing sounds like an amazing goal, something that we all would want in our lives. And then in Romans, Paul says, "Therefore, since you have been justified, you have peace with God and access into his grace, his amazing, amazing grace." And grace means we get what we don't deserve. What we deserve is death, but instead, because of what Jesus did on the cross, he paid the price for our sins, we get life. And we get life with him now here, right now on earth. We get to walk in the life that Jesus gives us, his kingdom here on earth. But we also know that we get life with him in eternity. And I think that is really good news. And Paul tells us to glory, or that also some places says to boast or to rejoice in our sufferings because suffering produces perseverance, which produces character, which we all could use a little character, which produces hope. And I know I need hope, especially right now. We need that hope that is produced because we're going through these trials, persevering, God's building character in us, and then there's hope. Verse 15 makes it clear that Peter is talking about suffering for being a Christian, suffering because we follow Jesus, because we follow his commands, because we do what he tells us to do. He says, "If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer, a thief, a criminal, or a meddler." So he goes from saying, you shouldn't suffer for killing someone or for taking someone's stuff or for just kind of being a general breaking the law type of person to a meddler. Do you know what a meddler is? It's a busybody. Someone who puts their nose into someone else's business when it's really actually none of their business. It's interesting to me that all of these things are listed together, not as acts of things that a Christian maybe wouldn't be doing. Peter includes a meddler with a murderer. And this is a good reminder that one, any sin, whether we would see it big, small, it doesn't matter, it's all sin, any sin separates us from God. And it also reminds us that we should not be so concerned with someone else's business just for the sake of knowing it or spreading it. We live in a world where anyone's business can suddenly be our business. It's out there, it's on our social media, it's in the news, it's everywhere. We can know anything about anyone. But can I encourage you to stop and ask yourself as you're scrolling or reading or talking, do I need to know this? Do I need to repeat this? Am I helping or am I meddling? And I would just say, before you repeat something before you talk about, before you're reading, stop and say. And it's always a good thing to maybe pray before you say those words. Say, God, is this something I need to know? Or should I take a step back from that and not be a meddler? In verse 16, Peter says, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. And in 2 Timothy 1:8, Paul says something very similar. He says, so do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. It's a very clear instruction. If you suffer as a Christian, and we talked about that can take different forms, but there is suffering going on all over the world, and I think there's suffering going on in your life too. Praise God that you bear his name. That is exciting. It's a privilege. And in that, we recognize that we don't do it on our own. We can't do it in our own power, but it's by the power of God, and we have to have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to us as a helper, so we have to be full of the Spirit every day. When you wake up, say, Lord, please fill me. Please fill me. It's not a one-time filling. It says, when it says to be filled, it says be being filled, ongoing, continuous, full of the Spirit, because we can't rejoice and make it through the suffering without the help of God's power and the Holy Spirit. May we be people who have that response collectively as a church, but individually, it's my prayer that when people look at us, they would say, wow, something's different about them. When we go through trials, when we suffer, we can stop and thank God for who he is. Give him praise that we bear his name. He's being glorified. So we keep our eyes on Jesus and we keep our long-term focus on eternity. This isn't the end. Then we have to be full of the Spirit, relying on God's strength and not on our own strength. So if you're in the middle of a trial, if you're suffering for Jesus' name, can I just encourage you? Your story's not over yet. You are in the middle of your story and you don't know the end. Now, you might be ready for a scene change. Maybe you're ready for the next chapter. This one's been really rough. You want to move on to the next one, but you haven't seen the end yet. So keep hope. Keep hope in God. I want to take a look at two Old Testament examples. They're both in Daniel, suffering for doing right in God's eyes. The first one is in Daniel 3, and it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They refuse to bow down to this huge gold idol of King Nebuchadnezzar. And so when the king sees that, he threatens to throw them in the furnace. It's like, you're not bowing down, you're going to be thrown in the furnace. This is what they say to him. And this is in Daniel 3. We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. And if you know the story, you know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown into the fire, but they weren't burned. God was with them in the fire, and they escaped. It says there were no burns on them. They didn't even smell of smoke. And after that, it goes on to say that they actually got a promotion in the kingdom because it was so amazing what God did. In Daniel 6, we see Daniel in captivity. He's in Babylon. He ended up being one of King Darius's leaders. And the other leaders didn't like it. It says he had exceptional qualities, and I think they were a little threatened or jealous of him. And it says they could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. So they decided to set him up. They went to the king and said, we need to pass this new law. For the next 30 days, if anyone prays to anyone else, not just you, you got to throw him in the lion's den. And the king's like, okay, that sounds great. Sure, I'll sign that law. Well, Daniel, guess what? He was not going to bow down to the king. He only served God. And they caught him because they set him up. They saw him praying to God and he was thrown into the lion's den. It tells us Daniel served with integrity. He was doing everything right. And yet he was still thrown into a den full of what I am imagining were pretty hungry lions. They were going to eat him. But God saved him too. He shut the mouths of the lion. And the next morning, Daniel was still alive. So in both cases, these people were miraculously saved. Now, we have an advantage because we can read, you know, when you get the book and you look at the end and see what happens, we can see the end of the story. We know that they survived the fire and we know that Daniel was not eaten by the lions. But in the middle of it, they had no idea what the outcome was. I love the response. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I like saying those names too, by the way, said, God is able to defend us, but even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down. So they're saying, my God can save me, but you know what? Even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow. You can throw us in the fire. We'll die. We'll be with him. It's all going to be okay. And Daniel didn't know his fate when he was thrown into that den. And I think the same could be true for you today. You could be facing a fiery furnace. You might be in the middle of a situation like where just like Daniel, you've done nothing wrong, but people are falsely accusing you and you're about to be thrown to the lions. Maybe it's a little bit scary. You don't know what the outcome's gonna be. You don't know the end of the story because it's still being written. But I wanna tell you today, God knows the end and he knows that there is victory in him, there is hope in him, and we keep our eyes on Jesus. So whatever you're going through, keep your eyes on Jesus and have eternity in mind. So I want to end with this. Verse 19 of 1 Peter 4 says, so then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. Those who suffer according to God's will. As I was studying, I had a commentary about 1 Peter, and I loved this quote that I found in there. It says that the suffering is according to God's will has been a theme of the epistle of Peter. Thus, the persecution does not mean that the world is out of control, but it means that God is working his plan in their lives. Wow. The suffering, what we're facing, the persecution, the trials, it's according to God's will. We're told that we will suffer. Over and over in the Bible, we looked at the verses earlier where it was Jesus talking, Paul talked about it. Over and over, we're told you're going to suffer, but here's how I want you to respond. Rejoice, take joy, persevere, have hope. And as I said earlier, that's not our natural response, but it's the response that God calls us to. My dear children, I love you and you will suffer for my name, but rejoice because I'm with you. And in verse 19, it also says to commit to the faithful Creator. So our response is to rejoice, and our response is to commit to the faithful Creator. To commit to trust means to hand over something of value to the care of another. And I picture, you know, those big diamonds that you see in the movies where, you know, they're trying to steal it and it's bigger than my head. It's a very valuable thing being handed over to someone. It's like, can I trust you with this? Will you take care of this for me? But in this case, that's something of value that we're talking about. It's your life. And the one we hand it over to, it says here, our faithful Creator. He is trustworthy. Can I give this to you? Will you take care of it? He says, yeah, I will take care of you. I will hold you. You will be mine. And we're going to be okay together. He's our Creator. He knit us together. The Psalm says in our mother's womb, he knew us before we were even born. We can trust him. And then at the end of that verse, it tells us to do good. And Peter talks about it a couple times in the book. He talks about doing good. 2:20 says, if you suffer for doing good, it's commendable. 3:17 says, it is better if it's God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. So we've seen in these few verses that we've just read a few things. First thing we've seen is that we will suffer. There's no question. There's really no getting away from it. If you're a Christ follower, it's really clear in the Bible that we will face persecution. We will suffer for his name. Now that will look different for everyone. It could be extreme jail, beatings, flogging. It could just be being left out of the group. Whatever it is, though, we will suffer. But then it says, not just going to suffer for doing bad things, remember? Not just for being a murderer or being a meddler. They go together. But we suffer for the gospel. Because we belong to Jesus, we are not of this world. We are exiles. We will suffer for the gospel. But then it reminds us in here that God is with us. You need to know wherever you are, and we're doing church everywhere, right? So we're not all here in the room together. Some of you are with family. Some of you have roommates. Some of you are alone, but you need to know that while physically you're alone, you're not alone. God is with you. And whether you're in the fire, whether you've been thrown in the lion's den, or maybe you're just ready to be thrown in, you're not sure what comes next, whether you're in a prison, you need to know that's not the end of the story. God's writing your story, and it's beautiful, and it is full of hope and life. So we'll suffer for the gospel. God is with us. And then what's our response? We rejoice, we trust God. And as it said in verse 19, we commit to our faithful creator. God is faithful. The world lets us down, friends, family, so many well-meaning people, they'll let us down, but God is faithful. He can't not be faithful. And then we respond in the power of God, full of the Holy Spirit, not in our own strength, but his strength, full of the Spirit every day. So what is your response today to suffering? Can you trust? Can you hand the care of your life over to Jesus? Can you let go and say, God, I have been holding on. It's hard to trust you. I've been in a bad spot, but I want to trust you. And can we do people who do good? Follow God's word, do what he asks us to do, even when it's going against the flow, even when it's not what society is saying, but we want to do people who are doing good. So if you're listening today and you haven't done that, I want to give you an opportunity to trust Jesus. Or maybe you're listening today and you did that a long time ago, but as time has gone on, you've slowly taken it back. Like, I gave it to God a while ago. Here's my life. I want to follow you. But we kind of take control back. We hold on to it. The rules that God asks us to follow, it's only because he loves us. We think, just a lot of rules. I don't know if I can hang with that, Jesus. But God says, trust me. I love you. I want to hold your life in my hands. So you can change that today, whether you've never done it, whether you're coming back to him. I want to encourage you today. We talk about repenting, and that just means turning around. It means I'm heading this way. I'm walking away from Jesus. I'm doing my own thing. I'm going to turn around and say, you know what, Jesus? It's going to be hard, but I'm going to trust you with my life. I'm going to trust you with the decisions. I'm going to trust you with my future, with this relationship, with my job, with my living situation, all of these things that seem pretty hard right now with my health. Some of you are facing health issues and you wanted to hold on. Can you give that to Jesus and trust him? And if you turn around and start walking, running back to Jesus, you want to know what? He is right there. You think you have to run that 3 miles that you left. Well, when you turn around, he is right there, ready to pick you up and hold you in his arms. You can trust him. He loves you. So will you pray with me now? Oh, Lord, we are so grateful for your word. And we are so grateful that you are a creator that we can trust with our lives, Lord, that we can hand the control of our life to you and know that as you write our story, it's going to be the best possible story it can be. Will there be bumps along the way? Yeah. Will there be persecution and trials? Yes. But you know what? If you are with us, it's going to be okay. So we are so grateful for that, Lord. And for any of you that are listening, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, I encourage you, do that now. Say, Lord, I don't know what it all means, but as I was listening today, I know that I need to trust you. So I do that now. I ask you to forgive me. I want to follow you. I know that it doesn't mean I'll be perfect, but I want to grow in you and be closer to you and be a Christ follower full of your spirit. Thank you, Lord. So if that's you, if as I was talking, you're like, I don't know exactly what she's talking about, but I know I need to respond. Jesus is there with you. He loves you. And can I encourage you to stick around? I'm going to be done in just a minute, but there will be people to tell you the next step you can take, because being a Christian does not mean being alone. There's a whole group of people that want to do this journey with you. We have classes. We have people that can talk to you. We can get you a Bible. But whatever your next step to following Jesus would be, don't try to do it alone. You may not even know what the next step is, but we can talk with you and help you figure that out. So stick around. They'll tell you how to get in touch with us. I am so glad that we got to do church together today. We are being the church everywhere, and it's exciting. So thank you for being here today. I love you. God loves you. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Church on the Way podcast. If this message has impacted you, or if you would like to support the ministries of the Church on the Way, please visit thechurchontheway.org and click on the Give tab. We hope this has been a blessing to you. Subscribe to receive a fresh word every week.